Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Natalie Valencia. Natalie is the coordinator of career-focused coaching and mentoring program at Denver Public Schools, and she works with high school students in the career mentoring program. Welcome to the podcast, Natalie.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Great question. Let's see, I think probably the roughest period of my life was when I first came to the United States. I was 16 years old. I had graduated from high school. I'm from Colombia originally. My parents were attorneys in Colombia. And because of their work as human rights advocates, we just had to leave the country. Mm-hmm. And so this transition of coming from Colombia to moving into the United States was really rough. We had to start from nothing, had to learn the language, work. So that was very difficult for me. And also just to see the transformation that my mom had to endure in order to survive here. So that was definitely a very difficult period of my life. I had to work. I had to have several jobs to help out at home while also going to school full time. Mm-hmm. But it was also probably the greatest period of my life too. I had so much growth, personal growth. I started to appreciate more the work that they did and what it took to be successful. So that was definitely a very difficult period.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's definitely inspiring to hear that as a young adult that you were able to, you know, take on those extra responsibilities, help out your family, and then looking back, even though it was rough, you learned a lot and you grew from it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely made me stronger. I feel like back in Colombia, I was just a spoiled child. Mm-hmm. With little appreciation for what it meant to support a family. Mm-hmm. It was kind of always a given for me. So definitely a wonderful period of growth and maturity and development and appreciation. It was wonderful now that I think about it. And now that I have my own kids, I want to be able to offer them the opportunity to go through. I mean, I don't want them to suffer, but mm-hmm. but I do want them to appreciate what they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really important lesson that you learned is appreciating what you have, since your family, you know, struggled to kind of find your footing when you arrived in the U.S. And a lot of kids today, they have things provided to them in their family, but seeing, you know, that not everybody has that is great to learn from. And tell me a little bit about how you got working with Denver Public Schools and some of your background prior to the current position that you have, what you've done teaching.
All right. So initially, I wanted to become a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Kind of, I wanted to follow my mom's steps and my dad's steps. And so I went to UCLA for political science with the intention of going to law school. Mm-hmm. Right after. However, after graduating, I got a full-time job at a counseling center at UCLA. Mm-hmm. And I just really enjoyed working with students And I found myself in all of them. And so I started becoming very passionate about helping students who had been through similar circumstances as me. So I worked at that counseling center. It was called the Center for Women and Men. Mm-hmm. And we used to offer workshops for first year students. And it was all about teaching them assertiveness and leadership skills and anyway, you name it, all kinds mm-hmm. of soft skills. So I worked there for 3 years, and then I worked for the Dean of a Student's Office. So it was also helping students and also working with students who probably made a mistake at some point in their academic journey. Mm-hmm. And which was also beautiful because it was just to see how much they wanted, how much they really wanted to graduate, how much they wanted to get good grades. And in that process, they would make mistakes, you know? And so it was just really nice to work with them and help them realize that, yes, that grade is important, mm-hmm. but what's more important is to remain ethical and to, continue to have that integrity. So that was wonderful. I really enjoyed that work. Mm-hmm, but then mm-hmm. I got married and my husband lived here in Denver. We moved here and I stayed home for a while, kind of thinking and reflecting about what was next for me, and decided to apply for the Denver Teaching Fellows Program. Mm-hmm. That's part of DPS. And so I worked with the Denver Teaching Fellows for an entire summer mm-hmm. and joined an alternative licensure program with Metropolitan State University of Denver, yeah. And decided to explore special education. I have a brother who has autism. And so that was always in the back of my head. I always wanted to, helping students has been like the overall umbrella. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I wanted to focus a little bit more on helping students who, in addition to having, all the obstacles that we all face, mm-hmm. They also had a disability. So even more of a struggle. So anyway, decided to do this program. And so that program consisted of getting a licensure while also working full time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I worked for Lake International School. I worked there for 3 years, working with mild moderate needs students. That was wonderful. Great, great job. Wonderful opportunity. Then we moved to Colorado Springs mm-hmm. and worked there also as a special education teacher of younger students. It's great. I really enjoyed that. Then we moved again to Castle Rock and I worked for Douglas County as a special education teacher as well. Oh my gosh, wonderful experiences. I feel like even though I was supposedly helping them, mm-hmm. I gained a lot from those experiences. Mm-hmm. Students are the best teachers. So it was great. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the pandemic started. I decided to stay home with my own kids because they were going to school remotely. But then I've always been very active, very hyper, I guess. I'm always kind of looking for new things, new opportunities. And I learned about this position as the coordinator for the coach and mentoring program at DPS. And I thought of my days as a teenager, as a new arrival into this country. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this was this is where my passion lies. I definitely want to get back to this of helping students who are going through the same thing as I did. And so that's how I ended up in this position.
Yeah, and it seems like not only, you know, you kind of made that full circle from the students that you worked with at UCLA to the high school students that you're now working with in DPS, after kind of learning about just helping kids with special needs and getting that gamut of experience in the middle school and elementary school. So tell me a little bit about this program in DPS. Is this a new program? And what do you do as part of your job? What do you help students figure out?
All right. So our program, the main focus of our program is to help students figure out what they want to do after high school. And so we do that by matching them with professionals who work in the field of their interest. I personally have 6 cohorts. I work with 3 high schools, Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, and West Campus. So I work with different companies who have partnerships with our district. I work with Microsoft, Slalom, which is a consulting firm, and I work with Namaste Solar. And so employees or professionals from those companies volunteer their time to work with a student. We have sessions. Well, now that we are, well, throughout the pandemic, I guess, we didn't discontinue our efforts. We continued offering sessions virtually, and we met twice a month. And I would facilitate these sessions and cover topics like resume building, career exploration, post-secondary options, scholarships, financial aid, you name it. And so the idea is to make sure they understand there are options, that they don't have to choose what their parents did, or they don't just have to choose what's easiest, you know. A lot of students feel intimidated by the cost, feel overwhelmed by the options. There are so many options out there. So the idea is to help them focus a little bit by providing them with information in a way that is not overwhelming, but in a way that is offering information, knowledge. We have things like informational interviews, and that means that another professional is invited to attend one of our sessions. And so they meet, and the student is able to ask questions about the career of their interest. And then I also have 3 other cohorts that are, it's called the Spanish Affinity Cohort. So those are Spanish speaking students. Most of them recently migrated to the United States. Are also kind of figuring out how the system works. And it's been wonderful. It's been great. We match them with Spanish-speaking professionals who are now very successful in their field of their interest. Some of them have the same interest, some of them don't. But still, we find a way to, especially in the Spanish affinity cohort, students can really relate to these mentors, because usually mentors have gone through similar experiences as them. So they can definitely relate and see that it's possible. That is the biggest thing. A lot of students feel so discouraged. They feel like it's really not an option for them to go to college. And I heard that a bunch of times when I first arrived. I heard things like, college is only for the wealthy. College is only for people who were born here. I just heard a lot of negative rhetoric. And it was only because I had people around me, especially counselors and I guess mentors in their way, in mm-hmm. their own way, who would just show me, oh, it is possible. This is how you can get, you know, from point A to point B and then C and then D, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of just focusing. I mean, while giving me the big picture, it's also important to focus on those steps that they have to take to get to where they need to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, you know, having worked in high school while, you know, I've seen that there's a lot of students that, you know, based on their family background, you know, they have those doubts. And it's so essential to have people like you in a district or have people in the high school who can help push those students along and help them discover their potential. Are there a lot of students, you have grades 9 through 12 that you work with, but do a lot of them already know what they want to do when they, you know, are post-secondary, or is this more also helping them kind of hear about different career options and maybe setting them up for an internship?
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Absolutely. I mean, we have students in the entire spectrum. We have mm-hmm. students who know they want to become doctors or lawyers yeah. or engineers. And we also have students who don't know what yeah. they want to do. We have students who think they want to do, they want to pursue a healthcare career, but then they start exploring their options in the field. And then they may realize like, oh yeah, I want a career in the healthcare field, but maybe I want to focus on nursing, or maybe they realize healthcare is not for them altogether mm-hmm. and they change their goals. It's very interesting because I've had a lot of students who say they want to become engineers, mm-hmm. but they don't know how many different types of engineering options exist. So once they start exploring with their mentors and they get to interview somebody in the field, they start kind of narrowing down what is it that they really want to do.
Sure.
And I just see so much clarity at the end of our program. And if it's not clarity as to what exactly they want to do, at least they know they are able to do it. At mm-hmm. least they know that going to college is an option and is extremely doable. We talk about scholarships, we talk about internships, and we partner with our internship navigators. That's how we call mm-hmm. I guess the people in charge of helping students find internships. We partner with them, we invite them to our sessions, we talk about different internship options. It becomes Our program becomes almost like a pipeline for these mm-hmm. students. Like they enter our program, then they, the idea is, ideally, is they join, they pursue an internship or an apprenticeship right after our program. And a lot of our students do that.
So if you have, go ahead.
No. I was just gonna say that throughout our program, we just offer so much information. We offer information about career fairs. We mm-hmm. offer internship opportunities, volunteering opportunities. And we talk about why pursuing those things are important. Mm-hmm. And so that becomes also a part of our resume building session. Like, we need to start building this resume, and this is why. So by ideally, I guess what we want is for students to have a very strong college application, a very strong resume by the time mm-hmm. they graduate from high school.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask about if you have students who are not graduating this year, do they get to continue in the program the next school year, or do they have to reapply? Or do they have to have room for somebody else to join the program?
Great question. Oh my gosh, it was so hard to say goodbye to my students. We just had graduations. Unfortunately, because of our limited resources, we can't, mm-hmm. I mean, we have to kind of open some room for other students to join. Mm-hmm. So it's a one-year program. And what we try to do is we try to stay connected with those students so that they don't feel kind of left out. And they are also encouraged to continue to have this relationship with their mentors, you know, to continue to nurture their professional network as they grow in their, as they continue to develop and grow. We talk about how important it is to remain connected.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And where do you see the program going? Do you do you think it's going to build in like cohort number? And I know next year it will look quite different with being able to meet these students and do more activities in person. So initially for the 21-22 school year, what are some things that your department's been talking about?
So ideally, yes, we want to bring this program to as many high schools as possible. Mm-hmm. We have about, remember exactly, we have about 17 cohorts currently. Ideally, we would love to bring this to more high schools and maybe empowering each high school to help us out, like by facilitating their own sessions so that we can continue to focus on expanding and bringing our program to other high schools.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to get started with a program in their school or district, what are some ideas you think would help them get started?
It's all about having that vision.
I believe.
If you have that vision, if you have that conviction that you need this program, everything is possible. I truly believe in the value of this program. I have seen a lot of students who enroll in college and they realize that they don't know what they want to do and they discontinue their efforts. Mm-hmm. So that's time and money that is wasted, is discouraging for students. So I feel like if we offer the possibility to as many students as possible, to explore, to just reflect and think about what they want to do prior to getting to college, then that's huge. So I feel like the first thing is believing in the mission, believing in the vision of this, of the program, understanding that this is going to increase not only graduation rates, but also is going to help the community as a whole. You know, if you help a student graduate from high school, attend college, that student is going to directly impact that family, right? And so you start creating that change. So main thing is to have a clear vision. Then I would definitely start building partnerships with professionals within the district, companies who are based off on the county or the district that the district wants to serve. So creating partnerships, creating connections. Allocating resources, of course, it does take effort. It takes time. I had a great level of attendance for all of my cohorts, but that took a lot of effort. That took a lot of time. It took a lot of phone calls, reminders, emails, texts to students and mentors. You need to have somebody who believes in the program, a dedicated person who understands that attendance, participation, engagement, that's important. If students are not able to build a real connection with their mentors, then the effectiveness of the program decreases. You have to really understand that matching students correctly makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Have you had some students that have had to find different mentors because there wasn't a good match?
No.
Oh, and good.
You know why? We spent a whole session. We call it speed dating. We allow all students and all mentors to meet and talk for a few minutes. And then at the end, we get feedback from students and from mentors as to who do they want. Mm-hmm. And we try to grant them that. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that, you know, that's how chemistry works. If you get along well with somebody, that person is going to feel it too. So usually the mentor would request the same student who requested him or her. Mm-hmm. So we value the feedback and the input of students and mentors when we are in the matching process. And mm-hmm. we also have them fill out an application, a student profile. And so based on their hobbies, based on their interest, based on their background, that's how we do the matching. It takes a lot of conscious effort. Mm-hmm. This program cannot be run by a robot. Mm-hmm. You know, it needs to be somebody who really thinks about the process and how, what kind of difference you're making.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any students who were previously in the program who are now functioning as mentors?
No, and that is such a great, great idea. We need to become better at that. I already mm-hmm. told all my students, the students who just graduated from our program, I just told them, you are going to become a mentor mm-hmm. for sure. I will definitely reach out once you are, once you graduate from college, I will definitely reach out and have you become a mentor, because that's huge. Absolutely. We need to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is definitely something that would be great to, you know, get into other districts in the area, and, you know, forming those community partnerships is something that helps, as you said, helps the community as a whole. And also students in high school, when they're able to kind of find out more about a field, you know, it can change their trajectory, right? And they might not want to major in the subject that they thought they wanted to major in. And that does save time and money. For them to not go and, you know, find out their freshman or sophomore year. So it's been so interesting to hear about this program in Denver Public Schools. And out of everything we talked about today on the podcast, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
I want them to remember that change, positive change, is the responsibility of all of us. Mm-hmm. We are all part of this transformation. We are all part of progress and development. We can all play a role in seeing communities transform and get better. Sometimes we kind of become too involved in our own worlds, and I feel mm-hmm. like I encourage whoever is listening right now to consider becoming mentors, exploring opportunities to volunteer, to become part of the solution, part of growth, part of development. It's super helpful. And you know, one thing that I also want to add is all mentors who participated in our program usually return, because mm-hmm. the experience is so fulfilling that they want to continue to participate. And also students rate us as a very valuable program. They all would recommend it to a friend or to somebody else. So yeah, highly encourage you to participate and become mentors.
Yeah, that's so important for any of those listeners who, you know, would like to help students out and, you know, mentor high schoolers or even middle schoolers along the way and help them discover more about careers. Where can people connect with you online?
So our website is, and I just want to make sure I provide you with the correct the correct website is collegeandcareer.dpsk12.org / coach mentoring.
Okay. Great. Well, it's been so nice to have you on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. Thanks so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Dana. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for acknowledging the value of our program. Thank you for this work that you're doing. You are definitely making a difference as well.
Thank you. Show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.